As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wine Times, brought to you in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club. I'm Annika Rice, and I'm here, as usual, with Will Lyons, the Vice President of the club.
Oh. Yes, I know. Loads of wine. Grand title, isn't it? And Annika, I've just got back from Greece. Can't you see from my tan?
Yeah, horrible. Where, go away.
Where we were cruising around.
It's a slight flush. I'm not sure I'd call that a tan.
Jenny and Claire, can you not speak?
I won't interrupt.
I haven't introduced you
okay,
yet.
I'm not even here. I'm
sorry,
not in the room.
Pretend you didn't hear, Jenny.
I say Greece. I was cruising around the Greek islands. Yeah. Went to Santorini, went to Lemnos, where I think the Greek army stocked up on wine as before they invaded Troy. And it was wonderful, as you can see from my
glorious tan. Yeah, well, you're looking very well on it. Thank you for bothering to come back to the tap and bottle here at London Bridge in London to taste wines, luckily from Greece, because we have Jenny Eclair with us.
You have.
When I rang you, Jenny, about this, and I said, what country do you want to represent?
What did
Which
I say?
Country? You said Greece.
Did I?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's not my favourite wine. I think I said Australia, and you said we've already got that, and you can't have
it. I'm sorry, we had Kathy Lett.
You had Lett,
and she brought Kylie to the table.
Oh, yeah. Am I going to have to give Beyonce a call?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. So everything is competition.
Just a competition.
Well, you know, I didn't even know this. I thought, when you said wine club, I thought we were going to sit here whining about being women in our 60s and not getting the work we deserve.
Jenny,
I'm a little bit disappointed that it's just a bit about getting a bit pissed.
That's so funny because actually you've said that and that is actually all Jenny and I talk about when we see each
Whinge.
Other. Obviously, I'm not in my 60s. I've got that got that ahead of me. But we do usually have a chat. In fact, I fell in love with you when you admitted to me, Will, she admitted to me that she couldn't really bear to watch anything on telly or radio that she wished she was hosting.
No, it's worse than that, Annika. Okay. I don't watch anything on television that hasn't had the manners to invite me on. So, you know, like panel games. I don't even want to be the host, you know, because I'd get sacked after about 3 weeks. I get sacked from everything. But
you want to be asked.
I want to be asked.
Yes. As opposed to asked.
even if I said, no, I don't want to do it, I can't be asked. I want to be asked. I think it's very rude.
Yes.
There's quite a lot
yes.
of comedy panel games that I should have been invited on. And I haven't. And then it really backfired on me because last year I was asked to do Taskmaster and I was so jealous of everybody else who'd been asked to do Taskmaster before me. I hadn't even seen the show. And so I said yes before I even watched it. And then I watched it. I thought, this is bonkers. I'm very glad I did it. And I'm very glad I'm doing this because we're in Southeast London, so I'm quite near home. And I am a big fan of the graffiti that we can see out the window. There's a slightly, not derelict, but a sort of downtrodden looking building opposite. And it's got this brilliant graffiti. Someone's just written cruel.
Yeah, but that wasn't there about 2 hours ago. I think someone saw your cab arrive or something. Honestly, it's just appeared.
Do you know what my favourite local graffiti has ever been in Southeast London? Somebody wrote on a wall once, Liza Minnelli eats too much tagliatelle.
Oh, that's genius.
Isn't it?
I'm jealous now that I didn't write this. Jenny, can I just introduce you properly since I bothered to, find out why I should be actually on my knees, bowing towards you. First woman to win the coveted Perrier Award at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Last century.
That was in the last century, but it's pretty good, you know, at the time.
There were only three other female stand-ups at the time.
Yeah, Jenny, don't. I'm trying to big you up.
Edit that out.
We'll edit that bit out because we want to big you up. Panelist on Loose Women.
Sacked from that,
good. Starred in Grumpy Old Women.
Oh, yeah, very good on that.
Yeah. You've written many a successful novel.
Yeah, many. Many a successful.
Yes. A few.
Debatable.
That didn't do terribly well.
Some that should have done better than they did.
That's lovely.
We're here to drink, not to
no,
wine.
But I like, yeah. I like the way we're rewriting your CV yeah. as we go along. Yeah. Older and Wider, A Survivor's Guide to the Menopause is a Sunday Times bestseller.
They're
right
all,
or wrong?
They're all Sunday Times
okay,
bestsellers.
Fine, okay, fine.
That's what all the publishers say. It's kind of contractually obliged to put that on, even if it's not true.
Okay.
Older and Wider is a book about the menopause, surviving the menopause, but it's also a podcast that I do with my mate Judith Holder. And we
I've
are
been on it.
Post, you've been on been it, on yeah. It. We are post-menopause because we are women. You can't cling on to the menopause forever, can you, Annika?
I don't know. I didn't ever have one.
Did you never have one?
No, I've got
one of those freaks of nature.
Things. Yeah, when I'm a bit older. Anyway, I'm glad we managed to tie you down, Jenny, because, yeah. you know, she's just been on yet another tour. Every time I see you on social media, you're always in a sort of quite cold dressing room yeah. somewhere. And I just think, why do you still do it?
Well, I'm always in a dressing room with a lino floor.
Yeah.
I think that's honestly, people don't think about dressing rooms. And when you've done 40 years of touring, which yeah. I have done, and it doesn't really matter because I love every dressing room, even the really crap ones, because they are a sanctuary. They're a weird kind of limbo space where nobody can get you. It's a sort of, it is your area for at least the half, which is the half hour leading up to the show, because I'm a professional and I'm highly trained. But some of them do not bear thinking of because they're so uncomfortable and nobody has sent a performer into the room to say, a carpet would be nice, a sofa would be nice.
Do you not have a rider?
Yeah, I was going
to
say
my rider, I used to, but they charge back and it gets silly. Just these days, because every motorway has got an M&S or a Waitrose, so I get my driver to stop and I sandwich up.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's my
that's your,
usual.
You bring your own rider.
I bring my own
rider. Yeah,
do you
have a glass of wine or?
Yeah, do you know what we do? Do you know what the best thing about being driven by someone who's capable of driving on motorways, which I'm not. So I can't drive myself to gigs because it would take me 3.5 days to get anywhere because I can't do dual carriageways either. So I'm only on A roads. Yeah. Is that what they're called? The small ones?
It's quite, it narrows 90. Your life down.
It does.
That's amazing.
I'd have to just gig around the Elephant Castle and that would be it. I can do the Elephant Castle, but I can't do open roads. Anyway, let me tell you something about cars. The glove box is not for gloves. Do you know what fits in a glove box?
Okay.
Oh, you're going to say?
Bottle of Chardonnay.
Bottle of Chardonnay.
Bottle of Chardonnay. Yeah.
I was going to say a half bottle of champagne, but you're
no, I don't like fizz. I'm not a fizzy girl because I'm too bad tempered for bubbles. I'm not fun. You know, some people, you look at them and go, oh, you're really champagne-y, aren't you? Because you're fun at parties. Now, I'm sort of quite, you'd look at me and think whiskey or gin, wouldn't you? You just think, oh, sour-faced, raddled old bag bitching in a corner.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Jenny, I always have in my mind, when I think of Jenny Eclair, I think of you in, you know, exuberant, funny, 1990, we're back in 95.
No, that's Sue Pollard. You're getting us confused.
But it's good that Will's got such a fake impression that he thinks you're really
good fun.
Because when I suggested you, he was enthusiastic. You
really?
Didn't go, oh, not that raddled old grumpy person.
And you knew better.
I would never
thought,
say
well, we'll lull him into
I
a false
knew better,
sense
but I thought, you know, let's stick together, get you on. And we're thrilled. And as I say, when I asked you about this and said, and you said you'd been to many an island in Greece, I was quite
I'm
impressed.
Glad that Will mentioned a couple because, of course, mine have all gone blank.
You went to Skiathos.
I've been there twice. It went off a bit because isn't that where they set the Mamma Mia?
It is known for
Jenny,
buzzy young nightlife. So that
did you go to Skiathos?
Well, can I be a bit poncy about this? So when I was on this luxury cruise,
do you own
I met a producer or something
yeah.
who told me, and I couldn't believe this, that Mamma Mia was all filmed in a studio. They actually
not
built
all of
a
it.
Studio.
My friend did the food styling on it.
Oh, so there was.
So I know exactly how it was
it
done.
It was actually all
some
filmed.
Some was location and some was in a studio.
I
so
heard.
They had
it was filmed in a car park in Hull.
That's
because Piers Bronson wouldn't want to
it's all CGI. Yeah.
But anyway, I like the way you don't even remember Skiathos. But anyway,
I've been to Skiathos a couple of times. I've been to the big one where Gerald Durrell.
Corfu. Now,
Corfu.
That's off Greece's northwest coast. That's
well,
in the
you're only
sea.
Saying that because you've got that written down on a piece of paper in front
so
of you.
So someone's got to put a bit of sort of texture,
geography
for our listener.
Well, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. I've got a medical condition. Many medical conditions, but this particular one, I have no geographical sense whatsoever. It's like a, you know, like innumeracy or dyslexia and stuff like that. I could look at a map for 17 days and I still would not be able to. I can do England, but I was on a quiz show quite recently and I had to point out Germany on a map. Now, I lived there for 4 years. I grew up. I could not do it.
I just think just the phrase I grew up is wrong. But anyway, moving on.
But Jenny, I do think I do think that Greece is quite complicated.
Yes.
If you're visualising it, because you've got the mainland, you've got all these islands.
Well, anybody listening to this podcast, or just have Google up and just check us as you go along. Everything we say. I mean, I'm 63. You're 72. We're not reliable these
days.
Well,
I like to think I am quite reliable.
I'm not.
I think we should have a glass of wine to accompany this chat.
Is it Greek wine?
It's Greek wine.
Yes, Jenny,
the thing you have to understand about Greek wine is, although it goes back thousands of years to like the 5th century before Christ, when Athens was head of the Byzantine Empire, the sort of modern renaissance of Greek wine starts about the time that you were winning awards in Edinburgh in the sort of mid-90s.
Oh.
So what you've got is you've got this mix of the modern and the ancient. So you've got very old vines that can produce beautiful grapes, young winemakers, and there's been a lot of money going in with up-to-date wineries. Mm. And the other thing that's interesting about Greek wine is it's not what you would expect. So because we always imagine Greece as sort of light blue skies and lots of sun, you'd think the wines would be rich and opulent like they are in Australia. They're very high in acidity. They're quite light. They're what we would call in the wine world quite elegant and quite savoury. So
yeah, but you're going to spit today, aren't you?
I'm spitting because
well, here we go.
Because you've got a grandson at home and I really want to come to
your spittoon. Spittoon.
Because you are the only guest so far who's spat.
Oh, that's really?
Yeah.
I mean,
people have been quite affronted at the thought of spitting.
Oh, well, it is disgusting. I mean, it really is. Even being handed this plastic receptacle
it's as I keep saying to Will, what I don't get is three tiny sips of three different wines. You only have to have one sip of each wine.
I will swallow tiny sips.
Yeah, well, that's all I do.
I'll do that. And I'll just have the bucket handy just in case
you throw
just
up.
Just in case I go mad.
Yes.
Completely off my tits.
Pass
and
your
chuck.
Yeah.
Do you want my hilarious joke about Greek wine?
Go then. I do.
Let's get it out of the way.
I'll
only put that in Mountain. Skip Jenny's joke out of the way and we can
progress. A lot of Greek wine, quite resiny, or in the past they were.
Yeah, the Retsina.
Like Retsina. And it's made of pine cones. It's brilliant, really, because it's a bit like disinfectant. It means you can throw up and clean the toilets at the same time. I didn't quite get it.
No, I sort of zoned out, to be honest.
I thought it was good.
I just thought, oh God, where's Jenny going to go with this? We'll probably have to cut it out. And I came round when you were going just at the end.
Just
line,
the end when I was laughing at my own joke.
So great, lovely
like a male
joke.
Stand up.
Very well done.
So we're starting, where are we? In the Peloponnese, isn't it? We're in southwest of Athens. This is arguably, it's a wine region called Nemea. It's Greece's
delicious.
Most important wine region for red wine. Now, my pronunciation of Greek words is appalling. My pronunciation of most words is appalling. But this is made from a Greek. I mean, the great thing about Greece is it has, like Portugal and Italy, 300 different grape varieties, which are all sort of indigenous. So we they're all original flavors. But this is, I think it's pronounced Asiatico. Asiatico. It's a 2019 1427 Asiatico.
Sounds like a condition, doesn't it?
Yes.
A bit of Asiatico.
No, I wondered if you had that, actually, you walked up the stairs and you were so out of breath.
That's my post-nasal drip.
She has been ill.
So, go on, what more detail about the wine?
Well, the grape variety, which is Asiatico, the sort of literal translation is the St. George's grape, and it's named after a small St. George's church found within the boundaries of the Appalachian. But having tasted this, it's medium bodied, isn't it? It's light, silky. I'm getting sort of cherries, sort of fresh red fruit.
It is fruity.
It's very summery, actually. I know we are sipping and tasting this in the depths of winter, but this is really a summer red. And the other thing about it, the name 1427 comes from, it's a sort of play on the sort of Greek symposium, because the ancient Greeks would love to get together, as you know, and just sort of have these discursive discussions. But funny enough, they would water down their wine. It was seen, I think Plato said that you shouldn't actually drink wine until you're 30. And you weren't allowed in his worldview to get drunk until you were 40.
By which time you'd have been eaten by a bear or something.
You'd be sort of doing that on your deathbed, wouldn't you, really?
So the ancient Greeks actually didn't drink. They frowned on... Oh. Well, they were all for moderation.
That's dispelled my entire Greek general knowledge, because you imagine lounging around.
Right.
With
my dad
togas.
Was a waterer downer of wine. I like ice cubes in my wine. I like 3 large ice cubes. Sorry about this.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing, Jenny, with that at all.
I just bit my own tongue.
Yeah, because you're overexcited.
Yeah,
because you sipped quite a lot.
I'm absolutely off my face now. Yeah, I have 2 or 3 large ice cubes in my Chardonnay of an evening. My father had an appalling taste in wine. He liked a German sweet, and he'd have it with ice and a teaspoon of sugar.
Yeah, that's... But it's not, there's nothing, it's like we're saying on Friday night, wasn't it, at the party? There was nothing wrong with
what
liking.
Party?
Well, we had a. Oh, sorry, this is the wine time.
Did you not come to. I only asked 200 close personal friends. Sorry, Jenny.
What was that?
Sorry, Jenny.
What was the party?
God, she's actually furious. Aren't you?
Furious.
Yeah. It was the Sunday Times Wine Club party.
Oh,
yeah. Mind you, none of our guests were invited, so that's fine.
Don't worry.
But it's okay to like everything, and that's a nice summer drink. And it's a bit like, I was liking it to sort of television. You know, some days you're in the mood for just something like a cartoon or...
No, I'm never in the mood for
I'm impressed
women.
You even had wine.
And then the next day you want to watch Newsnight or Panorama.
No, I don't never want to watch that either. I like Squid Game.
Where were we?
Well, so it's a cherry-ish. You're saying yes, but it's quite cherry-ish.
If we're just on this theme of how the ancient Greeks drank in moderation, I dug out this quote last night, which I couldn't believe. This was written in, if I can say it, in 375 BC by an Athenian statesman called Eubulus, who our listeners who are sort of up on Byzantine history will know. And he argued that you should have 3 glasses or 3 bowls of wine. That was enough.
Well, I should hope so.
It's really interesting. I mean, this was thousands of years ago he wrote this. He wrote, 3 bowls do I mix for the temperate. 1 to health, which they empty first. The 2nd to love and pleasure.
Yeah.
And the 3rd to sleep.
Yeah.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. He goes, then, when this bowl is drunk up, the wise guests go home. So he says the 5th bowl is to uproar. The 6th is to drunken revel. The 7th is to black eyes. The 8th is to the policeman's. The 9th to bilisness. And the 10th to madness and hurling the furniture.
I'd say we've all been to parties like that, and it completely decries what you were saying earlier about how the Greeks didn't drink and watered their wine down.
Yeah.
That's an absolute lie.
But I think there were rules, and rules are always meant to be broken.
Yes.
So there will always be somebody doing the temperate 3 glasses. Even to this day, there are people who've got that internal stop button, haven't they?
Yes,
and they just know when to put their hand over their glass. I don't have that. So for me, I have to restrict my... I prefer to drink at home.
Yeah.
By myself.
Yes, then you're
not
safe.
By myself. So
you're
safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't drink in theatres before a show.
Well, it's expensive as well.
Well, it's expensive and the wine's always awful. Yeah. Why is that, Bill? Why is theatre wine so bad?
Well, my colleague Victoria Moore on The Telegraph wrote about this. It's ridiculously expensive and it's served in, I'm going to get quite snobby now, bad glassware, invariably
glassware.
Warm. And then they just put a massive markup, don't they?
Yeah. Can I just say a story as well about this very subject? Because we did Portugal a couple of weeks ago with Clark Peters, wonderful Clark Peters, who now lives in Portugal. And I took a couple of my sons and, you know, friends and everything to this very nice Portuguese restaurant and thought, I'm going to show
Nando's.
Off now. No, it wasn't that. But I thought, I'm going to show off now with the wine list. So I opened the wine list and thought, God, that's awful. Bloody hell, they've started putting the calories opposite the wine because it said 380, 420, it's the bloody price of the bottle of wine. Which totally threw me, because having done this largesse of leave this to me, guys, I'm all over this, I then thought, I wanted to ring you up, Will.
Yeah, you should
and say,
do.
What do I do? Should WhatsApp. It be £380 a bottle?
Well, that seems like a very smart restaurant.
It wasn't a smart restaurant.
Yeah. By the way, Nando's isn't Portuguese, but because you will have listeners.
It's not Portuguese. It's South African. I hate you, stupid bag.
But we have been talking quite a lot on and off about how this overpricing of wine can be insane. Very frightening to the average punter.
It stops me going out.
Yeah.
It really does. It stops me enjoying restaurant meals. I only go Five Guys.
And the work,
what you go with Five Guys. Good for you.
How dare you?
The worst one is when you go to a sort of pub chain, there'd be a bottle of white wine. It could be a Chardonnay or a Pinot, you know, Pickford or Pinot for £45, £48.
That's
and you
so
know it's
going to
retail for sort of £8 or £9.
Yeah.
And so, you know, three of those. And
but it is annoying because it sort of it does put a cloud of terror, because you think, if we have three bottles.
Especially if you're the person with the purse strings. Yeah. And, you know, as we're taking our children out, we're duty bound to pay. Mm. And I'm already seething with resentment before I've started drinking. Mm. And I want more, I want the lion's share of the bottle, because I'm paying.
This is Wine Times with Annika Rice.
And Will Lyons.
We'll be back with more great wine and conversations before you even get a chance to top up your glass.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
When I first came to London, I wasn't very used to wine bars because I was at drama school in Manchester and they had them, but I didn't frequent them because I was a penniless drama student. So my sister, however, was by this time a qualified barrister. So, you know, she was a regular attendee of the wine bar. So she's 2.5, 3 years older than me, and I do not speak French. It's a French wine bar, and everything's on a blackboard because it's 1982. And I go and ask for, I don't know what the French was. I think it was poulet fumé,
yeah.
And that's smoked chicken, isn't it? Yes. I said, could I have a bottle of poulet fumé, please? And they said, well, it's not, it's a chicken dish.
And you think you're doing so well.
Yeah,
you
just... I bounce back.
Yeah, I just think it took you about 3 seconds.
This is wine number two.
Wine number two.
We're still on number two.
And we're heading up to northwest Macedonia. So we're in the north of Greece. So if you imagine, we're going via Athens. We go up to the mainland. This is just west of Nassau. And this is red wine country. Now, the great variety here is Zinomavro. And this is really in fashion at the moment amongst the sort of critic sommelier crowd, because it's likened to Italy's Barolo, which is made from a grape variety called Nebbiolo, or if we're in France, Burgundy Pinot Noir. Yes. So sort of translucent, quite light. I think it's called sort of acid black, and it's got that sort of sourness to it. But
so is this a breakthrough wine? Because you don't usually go in a restaurant.
Exactly, that's exactly the
word
for it.
Have you got any Greek wines? So is this the one that's going to make people sit up and go?
And everyone loves it because it's quite well. Let's have a sip. Actually,
do you think the fad for the Australian wine is over? Do you think that it's a bit naff now to like the Australians?
Hang on, he's spitting.
Well, what's interesting about...
He makes a noise when he spits. It's not like a gob, is it?
Not like you. Who's
not pouring.
I didn't like to mention it. You had it actually sort of pouring down the sides of your mouth.
Dribbling. I let it dribble. I just thought it would be quieter if I dribbled it out.
It's unseemly.
But we drink more Australian wine than anything else in this country, actually.
Yeah.
And actually what's happened with Australian wine...
That's just me in my house.
Is it's gone through to phase 2-3. So they have... You know, they sort of made their name on rich buttery Chardonnays and big rich wines from the Barossa Valley and McLaren Vale. Those big rich sort of creamy Shirazes or spicy Shirazes. But now they've discovered what the French have been banging on about for thousands of years, that actually wine does reflect its sense of place. And they talk about regionality. And Australia has everything. Australia could be the new France. I mean, it has amazing fine wine and it has wines of all styles.
It should be the France because it's big enough but to absorb every particular
But they're
kind
a little bit
landscape.
Like they've sort of grown up a bit and they're a bit, it almost feels like they're not embarrassed by their past, but they're now making serious fine wine.
Yeah.
And they've left those glory days behind when it was just sort of, you know.
People sneer at me for being a Chardonnay drinker.
No, they shouldn't.
Of course they shouldn't. But it's considered a little bit Bridget Jones' Diary era.
What was that television programme with the character called Chardonnay?
Oh, Footballers' Wives.
Footballers' Wives. It ruined the Chardonnay, didn't it?
It did.
For ages. And as you said it, I was thinking, why is that
ringing so many
bells? What is the connotation?
Yeah. And it's like the first thing that people learn in wine is that Chardonnay is a bad thing and they get snooty about it. And I think the reason is because it's so ubiquitous, it's grown everywhere, it's very easy to grow, and you see it everywhere. But I'm constantly saying to people to stop being so down on Chardonnay, because some of the greatest
wines... What wine do you sneer at, though? What would you turn your nose up at?
Well, as a personal taste, I don't like those really rich, big Barossa Shirazes that I was talking about. Mm. But anything that's made in a huge sort of mass market on a huge level, I think loses a little bit of personality.
You say that. You're saying not just personality, but it loses its cachet because right at the word go, I'm sorry to say this story again, but Jenny hasn't heard it yet. Will was, I've heard one of his other podcasts and he was talking about Carver. Now, do you remember how we all loved Carver?
We went mad for Carver.
And then it flooded the market. It was cheap as chips in supermarkets. And then it became the Chardonnay of the sparkling wine brand, and yet it's a very superior grape. So Will tells me. So I've started drinking Carver
back
again.
On the Carver.
It's lovely.
Well, so in the world of wine, if you start learning about wine, you learn about the noble grape varieties, which we now call the principal grape varieties because it sounds a bit pompous. And they are Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Riesling for white. I want to get these right now. Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, Shiraz, and Grenache for red.
What about Malbec?
Malbec wouldn't be a noble one. So the noble ones are the principal ones are the ones that have internationally travelled and are seen as the sort of the ones that are the most sort of successful and popular. Oh.
So there, everything else is a derivative.
Yeah, and everything looks up to these. Noble grape varieties like Chardonnay, which can make world-class, interesting, delicious wines, have been, say, sort of scorned and frowned upon by these golf club sort of snobby chaps
I don't like golf club snobby type.
So it's a 2019 Invicta Zinamarfo, and it's made by, it's wonderful, isn't it? That sort of translucent colour. And I love this. And these are sommelier's favourites because they're so light, summery wines. But they go so well with food as well.
Well, how much would a bottle of this retail at? Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Taste is one thing, price is another.
Well, we've stopped giving out the prices on this, but about between £20 and £30 a bottle.
And the other two?
About the same, actually.
About the same.
Now, our third wine, which I've poured, we're leaving Greece.
Oh, where are we
going? I know. We're going 1,000 miles north. We're going up to Hungary.
Can we get back to the format of the programme, please?
We're just leaving.
On a cruise?
We're off. We're one of those new cruises.
Let's get another guest in
now.
Where
you have the private planes.
We've gone to Hungary. Yeah. Now.
Have you been to Hungary?
Yes.
Oh, well, thank God.
Because everybody's been to the capital city. What's it called?
Budapest. And we're in the region of Royal Tokaj. So about 3 hours northeast of Budapest. And this is one of the most celebrated sweet wines.
It's very strong smell.
In the world. This is the 2017 Royal Tokai Five Britannias Azu.
Oh,
so
my God.
You go to a small village there, just on the edge of the Great Plains, called Mad.
Can't believe we've gone to Hungary. I'm still in shock.
And it was Louis the
Fourth. This is insane. Wine. It's insane.
It's insane. Is it a pudding wine or is it actually?
Oh my God.
So
it's
in northeast Hungary. Sorry, I'm just getting my.
Oh my God.
Because there's something I want to tell you about this wine.
That's like your grandson's got hold of all your various bits in your cupboard and chucked them in with a lot of syrup and sugar.
I bet you do. It was one of the great wines.
Oh my God.
Of Europe. I think it was Louis XIV of France who said it was the king of wines and the wine of kings.
What would you eat with this, though? Because you need something immediately to kind of balance that.
You could have
this
with, I think all sweet wine benefits from sort of late afternoon serving. So you serve it late afternoon. But this would go very well with pâté or charcuterie. But the big thing that Tokai is doing at the moment is Asian food. That sort of light, spicy, small eats that you get. So if you think of sort of tempura prawns or something like that, anything with
sort of personally.
Panettone would be lovely.
Pudding, yeah. So it's a shock for me to enjoy this because I haven't got sweet tooth at all. But this is so, it's a bit like, I like port, may I just say.
Yeah.
So
yes.
This is, to me, is a, like a Christmassy, right at the end of a meal, kind of a special meal. This is not everyday wine.
No, but it's one of the great wines of Europe. And the beauty, Jenny, is because nobody drinks sweet wine, you can then buy a world-class wine at a relatively affordable price. There's so many notes in there that sort of honeyed notes, apricot, unctuous, almost like sort of treacle syrup.
I mean, I'm surprised that actually pours out of the bottle because it tastes
like to pour it on ice cream, to be honest.
It tastes like it would sort of come out like thick, like a syrup almost.
Yeah.
Actually.
So the berries are left on the vines and then they get covered in this sort of noble rot and then they gently squeeze
covered in
it.
This noble rot.
Yes, so what happens is you sort of shrivel up the berries. And then you think all the sugar concentrates.
Wow. So it's almost like a raisin.
It's more amber colour. So it's not as shriveled as a raisin.
Okay.
And then you get this wonderful, glorious. So it's quite, it takes quite a lot of man-hours, you know. So it's quite an involved
I like that
technique.
Noble rot.
Well, there's a bar, isn't there? A restaurant called Noble Rot, which does very well. Does very well indeed. I have yet to go.
Should we go?
We're sort of angling for an invitation.
I feel we should get a table at the Noble Rot immediately.
Well, I think there are no two women look more Noble Rotty, to be quite honest. We could sit in the window because we are the picture of Noble Rot.
But the other thing about this wine, which I think makes it so unique, is when you sip it, although it tastes so sweet and unctuous and rich, the acidity is so high.
Yeah.
It's electrifying.
It is electrifying.
So it's a bit like Madeira in that sense. So it sort of awakens the palate.
It's almost like a shot.
Yeah.
And
like
imagine
a shot.
This as shots just lined up.
I'm greedy with my wine. I quite like a large glass of Chardonnay. I could not manage a large glass of this.
But you could do a shot.
In very posh restaurants, they serve this as a sort of teaspoonful.
In what? On a teaspoon?
Yeah, just on a teaspoon. You just put it in your mouth and have a teaspoon.
Well, what do you get it out of?
They pour it into the teaspoon and then they hand you it. It's a big sort of...
That's just irritating.
That's just being spoon-fed booze like a weird kind of pissed toddler child. It's odd. I've never been anywhere that posh. Because, you know, you have to be really posh to get away with that kind of behaviour. Because if anyone medium ranking tried that approach at the table, you'd turn around and go, what are you doing?
Or you just say, could you just leave the bottle? Because honestly, that is
and
just too small.
It's ridiculously sweet. So in a glass of sort of rich red wine, you get between 4 and 5 grams of residual sugar.
Yeah.
And then a dry wine, 2 grams. The sweetest Ikem, which is a sweet wine of Bordeaux, was 140. I think this is over 150 grams of residual sugar. So it is so much sweeter than anything you'll ever taste.
And our calorific intake for the day, that's depressing.
Mm.
No, it's very sweet and a treat.
Oh, yeah.
I can see someone like my mum, if she was still alive, soaking a stale sponge finger in that and making a kind of pudding.
No, but I'm thinking that poured over some ice, vanilla ice cream would be bloody lovely.
Yeah, or just have it as the pudding. That's what I would do. I would just serve a small glass of that and that would be my pudding. But it does go quite well.
But sponge, you're right.
Sponge is good. Or Christmas pudding. I know we've just had Christmas, but just on the history of this, it was interesting because if you think of Hungary, this was one of the most famous wines of the 17th and 18th century. Then the 20th century was really unkind to this great region because first you had the sort of First World War, then the Second World War, then communism came. And they basically mechanized all the vineyards. So all the farmers were told, you know, you've got these, well, they knew they had these great vineyards, this great style of wine. They're like, no, no, not interested in that. You just got to make bog standard, loads of volume.
Can you get this in this country, though? Tractors. I've never seen this.
Out of the three today,
because that one, pudding wine.
We are having to wrap things up at some point because, you know, the day has to move along at some point. So which of those three you'd go for the pudding wine?
For the unusual flavour of it and the fact that I very, very rarely have anything that is quite so unusual as that, that is my
I'd
pick of
the bunch.
I'd
say you've made a very happy Will.
Yes.
Apart from the fact, shockingly, we've gone to Hungary, which you just slipped
that
took
in. We just took a detour.
We just headed up, we just got in the car and drove...
Yeah.
You know, 7 hours.
Yeah.
This is the one I'm going to take home today. We've only had about a third of it.
Yeah, there's plenty more for...
I can put a sock
you
can, in the top
I mean, do you
that.
Like cheese? You could have it with cheese.
Oh, I'm a big cheese girl, unfortunately. That's what I have always instead of pudding. I'm a cheese woman.
Yeah.
So what...
This is why I've got gout.
Have you actually?
No.
Of course, I don't mind. I've no idea. Look, but young people can get gout.
It's a diet, isn't it? But let's not go
We're going
there.
To walk into the night now.
Are we? Staggering
We're stagger out. What does the new year bring for you, 2024?
Great joy and glad tidings.
Excellent.
Who knows, Annika? You know, there will be an announcement on a little project I have going on in March.
Is it an art project, she said? It's not. She's seething jealousy.
Do you know, the only day I saw a smile creep over your face when we were talking about art was when, because I used to have that Channel 4 art programme and then they axed it.
Draws
and,
off.
Yeah, draws off.
I love
off.
That. I
and then
it.
When I told you, you tried not to smile when I said, no, they've cancelled that. You sort of went and kept a really straight face, as straight as you possibly could.
So
and you went,
thrilled.
Oh, no, that's a shame. It was so flawed, Annika. It was such a great idea, but it was flawed.
I enjoyed it.
Well, that's because
I watched it loyally.
You do proper live drawing as well. You know,
I thought it was good. Anyway, we won't be doing any more of that, but you've got something else we'll be listening out for.
Yeah. I genuinely do want to make more time for the drawing and the painting and the creative stuff.
Well, we must think of an excuse to do this together very soon.
Or going on a travel
holiday. Just go to Greece.
With a
dog leg up to Hungary, if that doesn't make
either or.
Weird.
Yeah.
And we should also take a little bit of learnings from the ancient Greeks.
Oh, yes.
And drink in moderation, because it is...
Not in moderation,
a lot of
10
people
bowls
are doing...
full.
But it's interesting, they talk about three glasses, don't they? Three bowls.
Yeah.
And if you think of a modern wine bottle, it's six glasses of wine. So that's three glasses each.
Do you know what my doctor thinks a bottle of wine is? He said a bottle of wine was 10 glasses, right? A GP said this to me.
Well, that's good. You could just say, I just have one glass a day. And he would go, tick, she barely drinks.
Can you imagine?
Anyway, listen, thank you, Jenny. A joy to see you as always.
Cheers.
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 Cheers. And you hold it at the bottom.
I know.
To get the noise.
Oh, I thought it was just because that was manners, because I'm a bit of a hand...
No, you listen to the difference in the pitch.
Okay, let's do it not right.
That's wrong. I mean...
And then do it right.
Yeah, does it?
Work. And then you do this. I mean...
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful noise.
Let's end on that. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody. Cheers.
Well, that's it from us today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Wine Times in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club. The series producer is Anya Pierce, the producer Callum McRae, and the assistant producer has been Shana Johnson.
You can follow the podcast so you never miss an episode. Just do this via your favourite podcast app.
We'll be back next week with more delicious wines and another great guest.
And remember that all of the wines we tasted today are noted in the episode description. And you can get your hands on all of them from the Sunday Times Wine Club website.
But from all of us here at the Tap and Bottle, thank you very much for listening. We hope to see you next week for more Wine Times.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, Road Station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.